Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Oakland, California. Come along and join us for a conversation with Pete Gomez, President and CEO of Visit Oakland. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for making the time to
Absolutely.
Visit.
Welcome to Oakland.
Thank you. One of the reasons, as you know, that I came to visit with you has to do with a fairly new initiative by Visit Oakland. And that's engagement with your cannabis trail.
Yes.
Who would have thought, man? I'm old enough to know, really?
I'm right there with you. But you know, a cannabis trail, and I'm so proud of this trail. As you'll know, there's a lot of history of cannabis that started here in Oakland, especially with being one of the first cities to do business licensing with cannabis.
When did that transition take place?
Around 8 to 9 years ago.
Okay, real early.
Very early. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, when I saw this and I saw the deep history we had with cannabis and our location where we're located, I said, hey, as a destination, we should really create a trail. We should really start bringing visitors here to have a different appreciation of cannabis. And what I love about our trail, it's not about just finding the dispensary, mm-hmm. but it's about experiencing Oakland throughout the cannabis world.
And you have an educational component, too, where people learn about cannabis, the Cannabis University.
Yes, we have the Cannabis University Oaksterdam. And what I get a kick out of our site is that we even have a glossary of terms, which is great for your first time people understanding cannabis. They can go onto the website and say, hey, what does this mean? Or what does this strand mean? Mm-hmm. It really does give you a little bit of more confidence to experience our trail.
There's so many nuances.
So there's all this different terminology. Mm-hmm. And then going back to Visit Oakland and creating this trail, we wanted to be the first destination in our country to do this. We felt it was something that statistics show that travelers are looking for this experience, and it's our responsibility to bring it to the travelers. So we wanted to be the first ones to do that.
Kind of like a blur of evolution and change of acceptance and whatnot. I mean, who would have imagined that the Claremont Hotel in the Oakland Hills would have a part of their cuisine, a cannabis
experience
menu.
Yeah. Dining experience. And obviously, I mean, the Claremont being our grand dame luxury property of Oakland, which I'm a personal fan of, to be able to see that presented in that fashion, which really shows you kind of the acceptance of cannabis. World.
10 years ago, you'd say
nobody
never
would
happened.
Have done that. No. It wouldn't have happened.
No.
But again, beyond the dining experiences, experiencing these dispensaries and how this industry is growing and one of the fastest growing for the state of California.
Part of the allure for the city of Oakland has to do with, to be blunt, revenue.
Yeah, well, it's revenue and it's addressing the need of the future traveler. You mentioned it a decade ago. This would have been a no. Now, being legalized and being widely accepted. It's what travelers are looking for, and it's our responsibility to present that in a positive manner. Again, going back onto the trail.
This trail is operative and is going. It's
operative. It's going. I've met people that have been on it.
That's where I want to go. It's been happening long enough that you have been able to receive some feedback from the traveler. What is the feedback
you've
got? Well,
the most recent was from a couple that was visiting us from Wisconsin, actually. They were in town. They were staying at that city across the bay from us. And I met them there, and they asked, what do I do? And I said, I'm with Oakland. I'm their president and CEO for Visit Oakland. They told me, I wasn't looking for them. I just came off your cannabis trail. They read about it. And they were pleasantly surprised, which is what I love, is that when they got to Oakland, they went beyond. They've discovered that we have the Chabot Space Center, that we have the Oakland Zoo, an amazing museum. But the biggest chuckle I got is that you have a lake right in the middle of your city. And many people don't know that.
A huge lake.
And I always tell people you can kayak in Oakland or wind up in the Redwoods within a 20-minute drive of our city limits. Mm-hmm. That's what I love, the sense of discovery. And you'll find that the cannabis traveler does want that sense of discovery. So once they were here and discovered that trail, they loved it.
A little bit more about feedback you've received, because, you know, cannabis is not about just getting high. Mm-hmm. It's about, in many respects, anyway for me personally, medicinal application.
Sure, absolutely medicinal application. And the feedbacks that I received in that manner, it's appreciated, where they can learn about the different strands. But most importantly, a gentleman actually spoke to me about it, that he went on a urban hike throughout the city after that. And actually, there was somebody that did the cannabis trail and then went to a concert that was being presented. It was everything, all the pillars that we have here in Oakland are able to partake in the cannabis trail as part of your experience.
And back to the medicinal angle.
Yes.
Going to the dispensaries and talking to the managers and whatnot. The history of most of them was medicinal, medicine, therapeutic cannabis.
Absolutely.
Because that was the only application that was legal.
Yes.
And today, it still serves probably a more vital role in palliative care for people suffering from different cancers.
Absolutely. And even sleep disorders as well. That's very popular.
I just ran out of my sleep gummies. And that's, talk her into going.
Well, you're in Oakland. I can give you some tips on where you can go.
One of the most impressive takeaways for me, experiencing your cannabis trail and going to the different dispensaries, was the brilliance and the depth of knowledge and expertise of the staff members at the various dispensaries.
I mean, they're amazing. It was one of the things that really stuck out to me as well, visiting all these dispensaries. And I don't know if you'll see this in our glossary. I love this name, and they're called bud tenders. You know, they're customer service agents, as you would say, at these dispensaries. Mm-hmm. And what I appreciated about it is also our dispensaries are all different experiences, from a very, almost like from a very high-end curated boutique dispensary to one that would be more general and appealing for volume. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the unique things.
One we went to, I think Harborside, it was like a grocery store.
Exactly. You know? It was like the grocery store for cannabis.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I think that's a good thing. Maybe I can do a Bud Tender Award, the best of Bud Tender in Oakland.
Yeah.
We should do that next year for the second part of our cannabis trail.
I love it.
Because we do get comments from those people going on the trail that want to experience that.
On the other end, and in the heart of downtown Oakland, we went to Eco Cannabis. And what I was most impressed there was their social engagement with the community, with those who have been at the butt end of going to prison for marijuana use and whatnot.
So, and now are actually part of the cannabis economy. That is something that the city of Oakland has really been wanting to promote and get people that were part of that community to now benefit from the legalization of cannabis.
And I think they're mandated by the city of Oakland to hire and engage in their products and the people. 50% have to come from that
group.
Yeah.
Yeah. pretty cool.
It's really cool.
You mentioned something, you know, from Harborside to downtown Oakland. One of the other things that I stress to many people is, hey, don't just come here for the day. Come and do an overnight. Because this trail has so much to offer.
No, one day is not enough time.
And we have amazing hotels, from boutique hotels to Grand Dame, Claremont. We have a lot to offer for the traveler.
As I think you know, I'm staying in Jack London Square at the Waterfront Hotel. And Sunday, I arrived midday and was able to walk around, and it was rocking and rolling, not with tourists. What I noticed were just super happy, engaged locals. You know, they were having a great time at the Plank restaurant bar and live music.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. As you mentioned, a lot of locals go to Jack London Square, and they're pleasantly surprised. As a tourist, you'd be pleasantly surprised because it's a vibrant waterfront location where you are here on a Sunday, and that's because farmers markets were rocking. There's also a local arts fair. There's always something going on along the waterfront.
Well, and again, it's almost a misnomer to call Jack London a square because it's really a rectangle.
It's the longest rectangle you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a square, come to think of it. Jack London Square is amazing. You know, you mentioned it. We have a lot of people that are locals hanging out here. And when the tourists arrive, they're so pleasantly surprised because they are having a locals experience. It's a waterfront that's vibrant. They have a farmer's market, the local arts market. And, you know, Jack London was onto something. There's even the High Hold Saloon.
That's where he used to hang out.
He used to hang out there.
And it's still there.
It's still there. Wow. Still there. And you have to experience it.
I will. I'm going there.
My name is Elliot Miles. I'm one of the co-owners of Heinold's First and Last Chance Saloon, 48 Webster Street in Jack London Square.
And this was the same bar where Jack London used to hang out in Oakland, right?
This was, and it's mentioned a number of times in John Barleycorn and in Tales of the Fish Patrol.
Kind of a miracle that it physically survived, isn't it?
More than a miracle. There have been some very serious challenges to the building. When they were discussing taking out the Alameda Bridge, the Webster Street Bridge to Alameda, they were going to put a bascule bridge in. This is around 1913. And it would have destroyed the saloon then. In the 1950s, when they put in the Webster Street tube, they were going to either destroy the saloon, but instead they took out one third of the Hazlitt building. So if you look over there, the building is set back from the corner of Webster Street. They destroyed that part of the building to put the tube in, rather than to destroy the saloon.
And then behind you, there's a log cabin. Tell us that story.
That's half replica and half original. Jack London's log cabin when he was up in the Klondike in 1897. It was identified by having a carving that Jack London did of his signature on the back wall, and it was installed here in 1970 by...
Tell us a little bit about the bar itself today.
The bar was built out of the remains of a stern wheel paddle steamer, the Umatilla, that was built in 1858 on the Columbia River in the Middle Reaches. On her maiden voyage, she launched from the bank and went down over the Cascades, which were rapids, unpassable rapids, on the Columbia. As part of the shenanigans of the California Steam Navigation Company, she was brought back down to the Bay Area, and she was used on the Bay River trade up to Stockton and Sacramento. By 1870, she was derelict and lying at the foot of the wharf here at the base of Webster Street. It was the municipal wharf at the time. And between November of 1870 and midsummer of 1874, she was dismantled, and her timbers were torn apart and built a bunkhouse for the oyster men who lived down here. The land that we're on right now used to be underwater. It used to be under the low tide line. And that's important because in the Carpentier Grant of 1852, Horace Carpentier received all of the water between the mean low tide line and the high tide line.
So back in the day, would this have been the water?
This would have been the water up until about late 1860s, early 1870s.
And Jack came from a working class family, and they lived near here, right in Oakland, right, when he was a kid.
His stepdad was a special police officer for the Oakland Police Department.
Mm-hmm. And where is this house long gone?
There were several houses that Jack London lived in, and there were several places that he lived. So he was born in San Francisco, raised on the San Mateo coast, ranched in the Livermore Valley, lived in Alameda, lived in Oakland. It wasn't until he was about 10 that the family permanently settled in Oakland. John London Sr., he worked at a variety of jobs. He was a disabled veteran of the Civil War. In those days, you did what you could do to get by. His mother, Flora, she held seances. And Jack was actually one of the rappers for the seance. He hated it.
Tell us about the ghost, the spirit of Jack London. Do you ever feel his presence here?
Back in 1925, there was an unnamed seer, seance holder, spiritualist, whatever you want to call her, in Berkeley, who said that she communicated with the ghost of Jack London. And Homer Thomas, one of the Tribune journalists, came down here and he asked Johnny Heinold, the first owner, would Jack come back? And Johnny Heinold says, that's all the bunk. Jack London didn't believe in the afterlife. And he pointed to Just Meat, which is a short story by Jack London, where the two jewel thieves kill someone during a robbery, and then they proceed to kill each other. And one of them says to the other, have you ever seen a dead body? And he said, nope. And he goes, it's just like this steak. It's just meat. According to Johnny Heinold, Jack would be more surprised than anyone if his ghost came back.
That's funny. But how about you? Do you ever feel those who have gone before here in the bar?
I think the whole bar, you feel that. You feel Captain Alex McLean, who was on the Alaska Packers fleet and was a sealer and was a sealing pirate. You feel Rex Beach, who wrote stories of big hairy men doing big hairy tasks. You can see Jack got his picture on the wall. If he came back today, he would recognize a large part of the place.
Really? That's really cool.
It hasn't changed that much.
Why does the floor slope so radically, and why have efforts to string
it's
it up?
It's either 13 inches and 14 feet or 14 inches and 13 feet. Based upon maps that I've been able to find of this area, we were below the low tide line, and then we were on a tidal channel. We are the oldest continuously active hospitality business in its original building, at its original site, with one asterisk. It was originally right where that tree is, and John Davy moved it 17 feet to the south. When he moved it, the front was on pilings and the back was on mud. And so in the 1906 quake, it sank.
That's the way it sits today.
Yep.
And so why does it stay the way it was?
Over time, Johnny and then his son George tried to jack it up, but it's just on unconsolidated mud fill on a tidal channel.
And again, you were talking about the oldest historic structure where? In the state of California?
I would go far enough to suggest west of the Sierras. There are several places that say that they are older than us, and to some extent they might be. The Iron Door in Groveland is in a building that was built around 1849 or 1850, but it didn't become a saloon until 1894, full 10 years after we were. The Little Shamrock in San Francisco says it's older, but it's not the original building as far as I can tell. Tattich's was founded before us,
right?
But it's in its third or fourth building. The Cliff House burnt to the ground three times and is closed.
So
we only closed three times in our history.
Wow.
The first was in 1906 when District Attorney John Allen, Alameda County, ordered all of the restaurants and saloons selling alcohol to close for 2 weeks after the earthquake. The population of Oakland went from somewhere around 60,000 to double that or almost triple that with all the refugees from San Francisco. The second time, so we were closed from April 18th to May 2nd. The second time was when Johnny Heinold had surgery in, I believe it was November of 1928 or 29, and he was closed for 2 months. And the third time was March 17th, 2020 to April 3rd, 2021.
Because of COVID.
Yep, and we were only able to open because of our patio.
Blessed to have that, huh?
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to add that's closest to your heart that you think is really cool about right here?
In 1917, George enlisted or was drafted into the American Expeditionary Force, and he was sent to France. He arrived on New Year's Day in 1918. And at the Battle of Vaux in June of 1918, he captured a German lieutenant and 12 privates. And the French government awarded him the Croix de Guerre with the Bronze Star. When he inherited the bar from his dad, who died in 1933, a month before 3.2 beer was legalized. So Johnny was never arrested for violating the Volstead Act. He's one of seven saloon keepers that the Oakland Police Department said were never arrested in the city of Oakland for violating Volstead. We just sold soda pop. When George returned, he opened up the saloon after Prohibition was repealed. He was a decorated war veteran.
I'm sure all locals know about your bar and the existence, but I bet you have some really surprised tourists and visitors walking along here and discover.
You know, Jack London was once called the Boy Socialist of Oakland. Mm-hmm. He ran for mayor of Oakland on the socialist ticket. And so as a result, Jack London is very, very popular in Russia. And during the Soviet Union, we would have a lot of Soviet visitors coming in. And we still get a lot of Russians coming in today. Jack London's also popular in France. We get a lot of French visitors. We get a lot of German visitors. I think American literary doyens frown on Jack London because he was commercial. He was America's first commercial writer. They just kind of cheapen him, basically. But if you just read Jack London to enjoy Jack London, he's a very enjoyable person to read.
Oh, yeah.
We get people coming from all over the world. Most of the ones who come here know about Jack London. A lot of people, especially if they're from other states in the United States, the first words out of their mouth when they walk in is like, "Oh, isn't this cute?" Gets on my nerve. It's not cute, it's adorable. And the floor is slanted, it's not crooked. There's nothing crooked in the bar.
There you go. Do you have a signature drink?
Well, first and foremost, we're a saloon. So we don't have a lot of drinks that you might find popular in other places. We've been serving Four Roses bourbon since at least 1946. I have invoices from back that far. And our bourbon cocktails are quite popular. Back in the early 2000s, Carol Brookman, my partner, her manager, Brian Wells, started concentrating on local beers. You know, back in the 1884, when Johnny opened, it says 1883 on the door, but it's 1884. He would have gotten his beer in wooden kegs, and they would have been delivered by horse and wagon.
From local breweries.
From local breweries. Mm-hmm. The Oakland Brewery, I know, we dealt with Joe Deaves and Ann Cram at the Oakland Brewery. So most of our beers now come within a couple of blocks of this place. Furthest away that we have on tap is Hopland with Racer 5. We have a very fine cider from San Leandro, Blindwood Cider. We've become pretty much depends on the season. We do more whiskeys and bourbons than we do others. But we make a very good margarita. We squeeze our own lime juice and lemon juice. And we make an excellent Bloody Mary.
All right. To learn more about your world, you guys have a website or you're on social media?
HeinoldsFirstAndLastChance.com and OaklandSaloon.com. Either one. My name is Elliot Mile.
Elliot, thank you so much. This has been great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure. Jack London Square in the heart of downtown Oakland, California, right on the waterfront. You know, the thing about experiencing Jack London Square, mostly locals that I noticed, was how friendly they were. I mean, I'll show you some photos. You know, they would stop and and pose for my camera.
Well, you know, that was the biggest takeaway when I joined as president of Oakland, is that it's a town. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between a city and a town where people still say good morning. They look at you in the eye. They're genuinely interested on where you're visiting from. And you're going to get that flavor when you get to Oakland.
It is a paradox, and it's precious in that it does have that small town feel to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Which is palpable.
Yes.
Very fascinating. Okay. So let's talk about the rebirth and renaissance of Oakland post-COVID.
Well, post-COVID, just down here in Jack London Square, first of all, I want to say that there's a lot of favorites in Jack London Square that are here. Yoshi's for an amazing jazz evening.
For like 40 years, right?
Yeah, for 40 years. Or if you want some of the best chicken and waffles, they're just right here on Jack London
Square. And what's
Square.
It called?
Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, rocket.
Home of chicken and waffles, to be precise. We're also going to be opening close to 8 new restaurants. The one I'm excited about all of them, but one that's going to join us is Left Bank, which is raising the bar culinary-wise here in Jack London Square, so bringing Michelin star chefs to Oakland to add to our culinary reputation is going to be awesome.
So here we are in Jack London Square, and I had the greatest time just looking out over the water of the bay or the marina and realizing and reaffirming what a water community this is. What a boater's paradise.
Yeah, it's a great water's community. And, well, you know, you can come into Jack London Square from the city. It only takes you 20 minutes on our amazing ferry system.
High speed.
But once you're here, you can even rent kayaks. A lot of people, especially during our shutdown, they wanted to be out in the water. Mm-hmm. And post-COVID, outdoors is right now the hottest thing. So doing the kayaks in Jack London Square area is amazing in our marina. And our estuary then leads you into Lake Merritt.
Are there boat tours you can take?
There are boat tours that you can do and several boat companies that you can even drive your own boat.
Wow.
So you can see that on our Visit Oakland site.
That could be scary if I was driving.
Could be scary if I was driving too.
Peter, so last chance to share Oakland secrets.
I mean, really the Oakland secret, which shouldn't be a secret, if you want an experience and don't have to go too far, if you're, especially if you're a California resident, I encourage you to come visit Oakland. It's the easiest city to fly into in California. It's an amazing airport. You can even get here by train or just drive over from other areas in the Bay Area. We're so centrally located. And come and experience our cannabis trail or even our culinary scene. There's enough reasons for you to stay here several nights or to come back.
And as I recall, back in the 1860s, this was the western terminus of the Transcontinental Railroad.
It sure was. It's actually where it ended, correct?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, over in West Oakland.
How cool. Peter, to learn more about the world of Oakland.
So, Tom, to learn more about the world of Oakland, I encourage you to go on to the visitoakland.com site. That's visitoakland.com. And I'm Peter Gammas, President and CEO, here with Tom Wilmer. Thank you so much.
Peter, thank you.
Well, I'm Taj Tashambe, and I am the president of the Jack London Improvement District. And I also serve as a board member to Visit Oakland. And primary mission of the Jack London Improvement District is to, one, invite our community to enjoy the festive nature of Jack London Square and all of its amenities, and also to give the history of our district as a not only business improvement district, but a place for our residents and our entire region to enjoy from its amenities and attractions.
Well, here we are, front row center, Oakland, California, Jack London Square, and there's stuff happening everywhere.
I love it here, you know, because it feels alive and it makes you feel like you're in a place that complementing nature, but also complementing the hustle of the urbanism.
It's right on that cusp between.
That's
right. We can almost touch the water behind us. And
exactly.
Back of us are giant buildings.
And trains and boats. I love it.
And in front of us, there's a giant freighter and offloading derrick. So this is a real center for container ships, right?
It's a real center for container ships, and it's the hub of the Bay Area's transportation infrastructure. You know, and Jack London Square is a stone's throw from that district of industry and commerce. And you're met here with somebody on a bicycle going by us. You know, just that community aspiration of growth and transformity, you know, right next door to each other, you know, the juxtaposition of the two.
What are some of the must dudes, if somebody has not experienced the Jack London Square area, if your hierarchical list of, oh my God, you got to see this or do that?
You know, we're sitting here nestled under some beautiful palms, right? Just to give our listeners a vantage point. And to our left is a wonderful place called Rosenblum Cellars, which is a local winery. And it's just in front of the ferry terminal here in Oakland as well. So I think if you're coming from any place in the Jack London area, coming to the Jack London area from any place in the Bay Area from the ferry, the first stop is Rosenblum Cellars. You know, they have great history, and they've been a long-term supporter of the Jack London district as well in terms of their storefront here. And it's a great place for people to congregate. Lots of opportunity to learn about wine, right? They have great selection, and can get education as well, right, with the different pairings that they do. And it's just a great place to sit out and just watch people.
Well, I have my own bias, and that's nautical history. And right over your shoulder is FDR's presidential yacht.
The Potomac.
Yeah, that's so cool.
The
Still
Potomac.
Permanently berthed here.
Permanently berthed here. And a lot of folks don't know the history of the Potomac as well. And you can take a tour on the vessel.
And they
go out to the
cruises,
bay
yeah.
to take cruises. I've done it myself. It's really fun. And learning about how the ship was restored and the history that it was actually, you know, something that had to be almost completely rebuilt.
I think it was sunken on Treasure Island when they found it.
That's right. Can you imagine that? No. FDR's, here goes our train going by, right? and that's the beauty of this area. We have the Union Pacific trains, Amtrak trains throughout the entire day. You can almost reach out and touch them. They're so close.
A person can rent kayaks right from somewhere close.
You can rent kayaks just right down the road here, right at the Jack London Marina. Yes, you can take a kayak out for the day. You can do a solo kayak. You can do a two-person kayak. You can take an adventure down the Oakland Estuary, down to Coast Guard Island, where our Coast Guard berths the Clippers and other vessels, or just going out into the bay, directly into the shipping channel. So we've got it all right here, Tom.
One thing I love to do is, like we talked about, going out on the bay. You have harbor tour boats?
There's harbor tour boats, and we also have, coming soon, our water taxis that are going to be berthing from Alameda, just across the estuary, and Oakland, to take you to and from the island of Alameda, back and forth to Jack London Square, and around the estuary as a whole.
I saw last night a high-speed ferry come in that goes over to San Francisco. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Our ferry system in the Bay Area is one of the best ferry systems in the country. It's just not utilized as much as some of the others that you may see up in Seattle or in New York, to give you some examples. But we have a wonderful ferry terminal right here in the Jack London District that takes you straight to San Francisco's ferry building, or to Oracle Park in San Francisco to see a Giants game. There's typically thousands of people who come down when there's a big event to get across the bay on the ferry.
Could you take a ferry to Angel Island, or would you have to first go to the ferry terminal in
That's
San
correct.
Francisco and then hop over?
Yeah, you'd have to hop over from the ferry terminal, and that will take you to Angel Island and to other places.
But still a car-free vacation.
Still a car-free vacation. And what I love most about the ferry is just taking my kids, you know, so they can enjoy that open air and sitting up high and getting the bay breezes coming through. It's just it's a very beautiful way to see our bridges underneath the Bay Bridge, or going through the channels of the shipping vessels as you see them just right next to you. I love it.
So you could have a Jack London getaway and spend most of your time on the water.
You really could. Yeah. You really could. You could even sleep on the water.
And how do you do that?
Well, how you do that is you can rent a vessel. You can rent a vessel from our marina as well, with a private captain, private chef.
Wow.
And you can take a nice yacht out. You can take a 40 or 50 foot vessel out that you can rent with your loved ones or friends, and take it out for an entire day, a half a day, or even overnight.
That's really cool. Okay, back to the land side of Jack London Square. What are some of the things, again, that you would definitely want me to see and do?
Well, you know, as I've gotten to know you, Tom, I know you love music. And one of my favorite destinations in the Jack London area is Yoshi's, which is right on the Embarcadero here in Jack London. And it's one of the most world-famous jazz clubs right here in Oakland. And a lot of folks may not know it exists, and the type of talent that comes through Yoshi's on a nightly basis. It's world-class musicianship. So I think Yoshi's is a must-do.
And there's also a restaurant there, because my daughter was a waitress there. So you could
get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, or just go to dine.
Yeah. Just go to dine. But I would tell someone that you can't just go there to dine.
Yeah, right.
You got to have some music and some tunes with your meal before you partake in the entire Yoshi's experience.
And even though it's a small venue, they have truly world-class musicians that perform there. Give us One or two off the top of your head that you remember.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you name it. I've seen Rochelle Farrell there. I've seen Kenny G. I've seen Tony. I've seen, I mean, you name it. Anyone you can think of has been there over the course of its existence. I mean, world-class folks.
Okay, back to you. What's your primary mission and the roots of why it's called Jack London Square?
Well, you know, there was this guy, his name was Jack London, as many of us have heard of, and in 1951, the Port of Oakland reclassified this area as Jack London Square in honor of the famed novelist Jack London himself, because he spent, Tom, a lot of time in this area around the turn of the 20th century learning his craft as a writer. Let me tell the listeners this. You know, Jack London is a special place, Jack London Square. Oakland has just a dynamic reputation as a city and a community. And this is where it all started. This is Oakland's oldest waterfront district. And it's where the city really began as a landmark for the shipping community, for whalers, you name it.
Way back.
Way, way back. And it's a privilege and an honor to serve community in this capacity. We also have a world-famous produce market that only operates in the middle of the night, Tom, from 12 to 7 a.m. Wow. 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. I just want folks to know that this is a place you can come and enjoy. You can get to know Oakland, visit our waterfront, listen to some great tunes.
You guys have a website?
We do. That website is jlid.org, jlid.org. Or you can visit Oakland at visitoakland.com.
And Instagram?
Our Instagram is Jack London Square.
That works.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Aaron Jones, Top Shelf Lemonade.
Yes, sir.
And here we are.
In Oakland.
Love it. So tell us about what you do and why you do what you do.
Okay, so I have a lemonade booth, and what I do is I make fresh, handmade, hand-pressed lemonade.
And you make it all yourself?
Yes, I make it all myself. I have citrus press inside my booth, and then I have also a slushy machine, a beverage machine inside my booth, and it's only fruit, sugar, and water. All of my fruit is locally sourced. It's a homegrown company, so yeah.
So you live in San Leandro?
San Leandro, California. It's adjacent to Oakland.
Back up in your life, what created this? You know, how did you start this and why?
So initially, I wanted it to be a business to make money. So I just started a booth. But throughout time, it has transitioned into a program that basically only sells lemonade to fund the goals. And the goals are to fund opportunities for the youth, start them businesses, and then they can work with me. I don't say work for me.
Right.
I want to work with them, you know, because it just sounds right. And how they'll be treated. So, yeah.
Where do you connect with the youth to work with you?
Anywhere.
When they might be coming up to your booth.
Yes. I met one that was walking past today. I met a youth that was at the gas station on his way to an interview a few weeks ago. It really doesn't matter. If I see somebody who may have a job or something that they don't enjoy in a position that I was in.
Right.
You know, so it's like a job, pushing carts or something. When you were a kid, you did not say, oh, I want to push carts. And if you did, that's awesome, and enjoy yourself. But when I see somebody who might not be happy, I think you might be able to enjoy yourself and be paid more working in my lemonade booth. So that's the deal with me.
But there's more to the story than that.
Oh, there's
what
more.
What is closest to your heart or can intuit is that you want to help make a change.
Exactly. I've always been trying to make a change, but now I have a vessel to do it with. So now, instead of me not having money or only I have to be at work, me working is doing this. I'm getting money while I'm giving the money So it's all a circle, and it makes sense like that.
Talk to us about, if you controlled the world, you know, what would you do to make it a better place?
Oh man, my brain is going crazy right now. So just to start, currency is out. Talent based. And that equality is basic. That's something basic to say. That's obvious, but it's not. But so equality, oh, that's a
big one.
That's a big one right there, because there's so many things I would like to do based on where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? I've seen this side of it, and then I've seen this side. So I want everybody to be equal. I've seen rich people, poor people, and it's like you actually are the same, but just different positions.
Right. Are you optimistic?
Optimistic?
Yeah.
I have to be. Every day I move. If you're not optimistic, pessimism will eat you up.
Yeah.
So optimism is the only way to achieve goals. Like, if you're not optimistic, it's going to be tough to get anything done.
And tell us a little bit more about your vision. You know, you're successful at what you're doing. I mean, you have a credible van here that you were able to buy and distribute your product with. You know, going forward, where would you like to go? What would you like to do?
So my vision would be to employ youth, focus on employing young adults who are like myself, who might not have, not necessarily direction, but just be kind of lost. Now, what I would do with my business, I want to have top shelf lemonade at all of your favorite festivals, all of your favorite events where you would pay to get in anyways. Now I turn it around and you make money. So you're in the lemonade booth and you can look up there and see the performance that you are gonna see. Even furthermore, go take them some samples, you know? So that's my deal.
We talked earlier about the more you give, the more you receive. And you were giving away lemonade today.
So I always wanted to be rich. Everybody knows me, know I like money. But the day when I learned about impact, and I started to actually focus on the impact and not focus on myself, the money started flowing in.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, it's crazy how it's just a mindset of...
Attitude.
Yeah, attitude, mindset, and how things work. When you're not focused on yourself, the things that you actually want, they come in abundance. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So I've been in San Leandro since 1998.
You went to high school there?
Yep, I went to high school. I actually seen someone with his company right here, and I'm going to take my printer that I'm just getting. I got a printer coming in, and I'm going to start doing his business cards and logos for him
for free. Cool.
Just because I have the stuff. You might as well, you know, so yeah.
Interesting. So you're what, 32, 33?
I'll turn 34 on the 2nd, actually. Oh man, that's coming up soon. I need to take a vacation.
There you go. Okay, so let's talk about your journey. You got out of high school, and what did you do?
So after high school, first off, school was easy for me, but it wasn't for me. So after high school, I thought that I could just rule the world. Everything was easy, but I didn't have no money or experience. And as a youth, you're not gonna get too far without that. So I was lost. I was working at jobs like pushing carts, folding clothes, and working at a register. It just wasn't fun. So now I have an opportunity.
At what point did you decide, come up with your vision and decide to get out there?
The end of a road trip. It was another business that I thought about, and it was...
What was the other business?
So I wanted to apply for a credit card to buy shoes that I can upsell online, and it would be an effortless way to make money, right? So when I was gonna buy that credit card strictly for shoes, they sent me more than shoe money, and now we got top shelf.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the deal with that.
So again, going forward, perfect world, in your dream vision, how would you like to grow? How would you like to evolve? what you do and why you do?
I just had a vision of where I actually don't have any money, but my social capital is so deep from the people who Top Shelf put on and started their business on, to where everybody would actually think I was rich. That's my ultimate goal.
So it's not money.
It's social capital that I'm trying to build based on community service.
Talk a little bit more about community service. In which ways would you like to help serve?
Community service is everything you do. Now, you either serve your community in a good way or a bad way. So when I see somebody that need help, I help them. That's it. If I have the time, I won't hurt myself to help somebody. So that's the case. Community service is simply taking care of and being a positive portion of your community. That's all.
That's really cool. Hey. So to learn more about your world.
Yes.
You have a website?
I don't have a website yet, but you
How does somebody follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Top Shelf Lemonade. And then I have Gmail, topshelflemonade@gmail.com, if you would like to email me. And then, yeah, I'm working on building a website, so look forward to that, and yeah.
Aaron Jones?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, man. This has been a great day in Jack London Square in Oakland.
Man, I'm happy I was able to meet you and connect, and yeah, hopefully we see each other again sometime.
I look forward to it. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the heart of Oakland at Jack London Square. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits? Port and other ribs. Spangled gowns upon a bevy of high brown from down the levee, all misfits putting on the ribs. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the ribs.